coming to Parliament, because there are commentators that at some stage were dreaming some sort of a deputation, doing one thing. And I said that if we can also in our resolution maybe include the joint progress, like oversight visit and talk with other committees of parliament, because that's something we share one work, like agriculture. When we go out, we observe that as far as transport also is needed, because there are a lot of things that need transport, but the committee don't deal with that issue. Other committee like public works, because of the maintenance of other buildings. And the last one that I put, I'm not sure, also to put doctor. I think even in our presentation, talk about the consultants at the municipal level. It's key. I also put the issue of the promotion of tourism in the local government level, where people must actually, where people are, they must actually see tourism as one sector that bring growth and bring jobs to the people. And if you cannot involve other committees of parliament, maybe you have a joint program so that we should see how can we best assist our community. That would be my input, and gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Shulani. Honorable Promo.
Thank you, Chair. I think this report is a fair reflection of what was actually said at the summit. In the nature of things, there were stakeholders and role players there from industry, from government, from quite a wide range of organizations. And each one of them has their own interest in, to bond for defense. So when you say we would adopt the report, I took it to mean that you were saying that, well, you meant that what we'd be doing is we'd be accepting the report is in fact a fair reflection of what was said, without necessarily implying that we agree with everything that was said, because, I would have agreed with 90% of what was said at the summit, but there may be a difference of opinion with another 10%. So I take it you don't want us to say we agree with everything that was expressed there, and you don't mean adopt in that sense, but you're simply saying we agree that this is a fair reflection and a fair summary of the proceedings, even though there may be points of difference and differences of interpretation, differences of emphasis.
Yes, in fact, we indeed treat it as different inputs of the different role players, in order to interact with others, for each stakeholder to understand other stakeholders in the milieu. Mama, what would you like to
add? Yes, sir. I would like to thank our researcher, which was quite a wonderful summer. We are proud of you. Keep it up. And Jefferson, you remember we took the pain, we visited Kailisha, Guguletu, and there were quite a number of complaints coming from those communities. But what I'm trying to say, or to find out, I don't know how is the going of now late in Kaelisha and Guguletu. I don't know how can we make a follow-up just to find out actually what is happening with those areas as a committee, because at times it's good to make a follow-up of whatever you we started. As I say, I don't know how can we find out whether there is progress or not. Or are there any, you know, complaints that have been attended to by who, whatever. And one other thing is that DTI is attending to local owned projects. Well, I do understand that they screened the applicants. They don't just give support funding to any person that comes across to say, well, I would like to start this business, wah, 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 wah. Oh, but I think maybe we are too many. The department cannot afford to help us through, in so much that we start to criticize and say, well, just nonsense, because nothing is happening. And yet, it is happening. Maybe it's just a matter of we don't understand how the department goes about with those applications. At times, it does promise, give promises to people, and people feel that it's not happening. Kula and other friends, they are not playing the game the correct way. Thank you.
Thank you. Let us look at the program. We shall adopt the draft Kayabisha oversight review as well. So perhaps if you've got something to say about that, we can say on that. And then let us concentrate now on adopting the what was said, the summary of the session as the correct inputs that happened in the summit. Monjo, do you want to say something?
I was seeking clarification.
Okay.
I didn't actually move.
Okay.
Well, I would then suggest that we adopt the report for the thing. So I'm proposing.
Is
he a proposal? If he's the proposal, then I want to second it.
Okay. We need to adopt it as a true reflection of the input of the summit. Okay, Mom, you got an extra Kelly. Thank you. But in the summit, the chairperson of the NCOP suggested that we, how about looking at having an annual summit? What do you say to that? Is it practicable? Is it doable, or perhaps it should be biennial? Or the practicality of it?
I'm just wondering if it's annual, it's not too frequent. I think the same price in a term of 5 years.
Yeah.
Say twice within a term, then we decide how that comes.
Okay,
that will be my proposal. I think I'll support that by annual, so that we should be clear.
I think it is important for all stakeholders to interact. And the frequency, I tend to agree that there's every other year. That makes it then twice a term. And because really all stakeholders need each other, and then you could even see the universities got what they taught into context when they interacted with the role players, and then you could see the interest they had to some people in departments that they could not be in a position to talk to, and other stakeholders that perhaps they talked to, they just received a reply in one sentence. In that instance, then they could interact. But I think let us agree that we shall not have any summit next year, but next year part one, we shall prepare for another summit. Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask you, Chair, for purposes of further processing the report, is the committee also requesting a debate on the report, or do we just want to, or would just want the chairperson to make a statement, or so that we can also from our side as the administration to advise them whether the committee adopted and if they would want a debate on the report.
Well, I think I'm open to that, but for purposes of promoting tourism, a debate would be of interest.
Yes.
From my side, where not strictly a debate where we adopt opposing sides, but we just say our views as to the different role players. But let us also hear from the shadow minister of the DA.
Actually, you caught me a little bit by surprise. I was still thinking through the report before thinking of the debate. We know this industry is very important, and we've accepted it on a bipartisan level. We've also agreed as a committee, without taking party political sides, on a number of fundamentals. Most importantly, we said we don't believe the budget is sufficient. And we all got a clip from the minister, and he certainly told me, but it also went to the committee when he said, look, it's a collective process and that's the best we can do. So I think there has been a lot of good cooperation between the different parties on this committee to identify things that are important, which we need to make the thing go forward. So if you believe that the debate is going to assist in that process, then I would obviously support that. We can certainly find points of agreement in that debate. I think for myself, in all the debates I've taken part in, you would agree that I've put my party view, but not at the expense of the committee. I've highlighted the things that I think we should be doing, and I don't think really any other party would object to that. So I think there's room for both for mutual support and to actually allow a little bit of, differences of opinion. So if you feel it helps, then I can't see doing any harm, and I would support you if you promoted that.
Yeah, for our democracy to be credible, if you agree all the time on all things, people won't believe us, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
My majority.
Particularly if we say that the debate, the aim of the debate will be actually to promote tourism trend in South Africa. And actually, get Parliament itself to accept the importance of tourism. Because in spite of the fact that the government has prioritized it as one of the five areas, for job creation. But I don't think that Parliament is big enough that somehow I have that feeling. I don't know why. You know, for instance, I think in one of the, maybe the last one, I'm not sure, one of the question days for the economic cluster, there were questions on policy. Not one of them came here. Because I always put somewhere, they hardly ever come up there. If, for instance, we have about three or four questions a day, we are lucky if one comes up for policy. I don't know. How do you
think? Very quite good. Quite good. And then we do have a question from Northern Cape.
I think we definitely have a real task to convince the whole parliament that it is important. Because I remember one time when I went there in the morning and said that they should prioritize other questions, they said, no, your party and other parties have agreed now on this. What came into that after that? There's nothing you can do. Mama, oh, my God.
Thank you, Chairman. I was also going to support that. It is not that we even are supporting, we are submitting our questions late. We always submit our questions on time, but because there is no interest in tourism, we are always thrown there at the borders. Even in terms, you know, even in terms of this, if we are taken serious, we are not even supposed to be left out, even in this cost of living. Because tourism is a priority in terms of everything that is polluting is tourism. Even the transport, the bus, the airplane, they are carrying tourism to these different places. But the tourism is just thrown to air so that it cannot exist anyway. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can I just ask one question?
17 is cost.
Well, one other example that is just coming to my mind. When we went for the People's Assembly, that's right. I participated in the economic commission. I don't know what it was called, but it was dealing with the economic cluster issues. And many people were all around talking about job creation, you know, job creation, jobs. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, it's time I raised my voice about policy. So I did. The deputy minister was there. Afterwards, he said to me, oh, my job. You are the ambassador for tourism. Now, you see, when then the resolutions came up in the plenary, there was very little that was said about tourism. I think the only thing that happened was that the following day on Thursday, when the speaker was making his final speech, he actually mentioned this very thing, that tourism has actually been prioritized. But I just want to say, as far as the commission was concerned, it was not so important. But there we are, which is one of the five priorities for job creation. But people, I think it's just that people don't see it as such. So that's why I'm supporting the idea of the people.
Okay, we shall debate, and then some of these things will have to be mentioned in the debate. So that we become aware, because sometimes this idea of tourism and just visiting, just going to another place and so forth is something that doesn't matter, is still there in the minds of the people. So we've got to advocate, we've got to create awareness, and we've got to take the blame ourselves as role players in the industry to make people aware. We can raise problems with other stakeholders like parliament, but if we do not own up the problem ourselves and say, you know, let us promote it, advocate awareness, tourism, we are not going to land very far.
I wonder if the department realizes what we are saying now. I wonder whether they feel comfortable that their department is just like any other. Honestly, because Taylor, I'm saying, maybe we need to sit down as a family, starting from the head, the department, one day, and talk about it, and try and find out your ways. How can we, as we are saying, I'm worried, Jefferson, that why should it be only the portfolio committee, and only to find that if the minister and the deputy minister, they are just saying, who cares?
No, they come on TV as well, like on tourism day. They are doing our bit, their bit. But let us concentrate on our bit as well. And I will come back.
Thank you again, Chair. I'd like to start to support the way this debate is going and also what the other members have said. See, the thing which I think that Parliament doesn't always appreciate is that although every single department and every single portfolio committee is important, no one can say that education is not important, or health, having enterprises, energy, mineral affairs. All of these things are very important. But all of them, with the exception of tourism, expropriate their share of the budget and then spend it on behalf of taxpayers. Tourism is the one that brings in the money. It's the only portfolio where we, in fact, actually attract customers, and that's how we should look at it, to our country, and our country is our business, and where people contribute via the money that they spend to the taxpayers, which supports all those other very important portfolios which Parliament basically gives money to. So any business would have a staff payroll, and they'd have any big enterprise. They'd probably have in-house training, which is like education, and they'd probably have a medical officer, like an American has with this program, etc., etc. But the core part of the business is to make money so they can support all those other programs which are part of the business. So if we look at it from a business point of view, I'm not sure that there's an appreciation of just how important tourism is, because it has been identified by the President as one of the key six growth areas. And it is one of the few industries in our country that's grown. And we know from 1994 onwards, we've gone from 1 billion to, is it 8 or 9 billion now, depending on the definition. So it is an expanding industry as opposed to everything else which is struggling. And therefore, I think it's incumbent upon us to put this industry and this issue and those items that revolve around tourism on the front burner need to say, look, this is what's bringing in the money, which is enabling us to educate our people and to keep them healthy, pay for the national health insurance, etc., etc., etc. And I sometimes feel, when I hear what Maj always says, that it's an afterthought. And in a sense, the fact that the questions are at the back of the audit paper, that there is less emphasis than there should be, is indicating that Parliament treats the portfolio a little bit as one of the less important ones, whereas in fact it's the one that's actually paying for none of the others. And we need to reestablish the importance of tourism to the whole South African business cycle. Without it, we could do far less in terms of social upliftment and all the other things which we know we have to do. So let's maybe use that debate to put tourism on the front burner and say, listen guys, this is what's bringing in money. 9 million tourists spend X amount of money, that's the contribution to GDP, that's the contribution to fiscal. This is how you're going to pay for the social development that you want.
Yeah, advocacy, awareness, or promotion, those are very, very important. We've got to assist. Everyone has got to have a role and assist. And that is the only way we are going to assist our country. Ms. Turi, thank you very much for your presentation. And we are still going to do other reports perhaps where we need your contribution, particularly around analysis, which we shall indicate. Because, for instance, in some of the reports, there is an analysis that is given of what happened. But because of time, let us think if we did not capture the the gist of the report, then I'll ask you just to come in. So let us deal with the second report. Should it be the Khayelitsha oversight report? Okay, let us take that one. It's just a short report, and it's a 4-pager, and concentrate on the observations and recommendations, because we were there, and then the whether it is sexual, what you wrote in the other areas is sexual. So, then if you agree with everything that is written there, let us then adopt it.
I'm joking. I won't go into those. But then under the second paragraph, objective of the vision, on page 1, sometimes when you write a report, you must remember that it's not only those who were involved who are going to read the report. Someone else may be interested, and we want to read the report. So I think under objective, this seems to be just saying too many words, unnecessary words. Why don't we, for instance, let me take the first point, 2.1. People are saying the aim of the trip was. We already have the heading, objective of the trip, isn't it? In other words, that heading alone is already saying the aim of the trip. Am I wrong?
Yeah,
that's the heading, I mean, it's already saying so. And therefore, you don't need to repeat that, in my opinion, after that. You can just start, for instance, from the word 2. You've got the heading, objectives of the business. Then you can just say, to provide a platform. And the second, 2.2, you can say, instead of saying the committee also wanted, you can just say, to ascertain, that was the objective, to ascertain. 2.3, the objective was to involve, and 2.4 and so on. Well, 2.4 is all right, because it starts with the actual action to assess it. I don't know. I'm just going to propose that.
That's a very, very
that's on the
formulation.
Yeah, but otherwise also, I'm thinking of someone else to read the report. Maybe we should make ourselves clear. You know, some of these phrases and terminologies can be very difficult. 4.1, the very last line, the very last two words, to speak of the version, the situation is of urgent importance. I mean, the two words are saying the same thing, urgent importance. And 4.2, the last two words again, the to speak of poverty tone. How can you describe poverty? I know what you mean, but someone else is reading the report may not understand what you mean by poverty tone. Otherwise, I don't think I think so. I think if somebody just reads over that report, you will see those little things that need to be corrected here.
Thank you.
tree.
Chair, you're pulling.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, fine.
Chair, I was a bit worried under point four. And maybe we just need to make the heading a bit clearer, because it does say summary of submissions and key constraints. When we went there, it was quite clear to me that the individual operators that made submissions were not necessarily in agreement with the local organizing body that, or umbrella body that they fell under. So, I think I don't want to be too precious about this, but I think we need to say these are the issues that were identified by the local tour operators without necessarily agreeing that they're correct, because the umbrella body didn't agree with them. One of the things I noted very strongly, and I asked a question myself about, were they aware of the rooms for you portal? Right? And many of the people hadn't heard of it. And then the lady sitting opposite me, who was part of that Kailicha sort of umbrella body that assisted those people, said, but we sent out an email to everybody. So there appears to be a breakdown of communication between the individuals and their organization. So as long as we can be clear, that was a submission, but there's another point of view as well. And one of the things I found interesting there is how it wasn't so much a failure of government or of the city or the province. It was that there needed to be closer cooperation within the individuals themselves. So, I mean, that part, I'm just trying to be clear that this is not the facts of the establishment. It was the submissions that were made. Maybe that is okay in the heading. And just 3 points on that section. 4.4, serious challenge of competition between local tour guides and tour operators. Well, is that actually a challenge or a constraint? Because don't we want to encourage local tour operators in Kailicha and these places who can provide an alternative to the established tour operators that generally are bigger? Don't we want to build up small and micro enterprises that there's proper competition within the sector? I mean, I'm not sure why that is actually a bad thing. Surely you want to empower those local individuals and let them grow their businesses, and that necessarily means they have to compete with established businesses. And established businesses, who often are actually, to be quite frank, from the pre-democratic era, don't have a right to remain in a dominant position forever. If a local tour operator in Kailicha can build a business and in a sense maybe take market share from the established tour operator, why are we opposed to that? We actually are trying, I think, to build up as many small and micro enterprises as we can. And that's essentially what tourism is. So we're a bit unsure about that, unless what we're saying is we simply accept that is a constraint that people feel, and we don't, again, necessarily agree that it is a problem. In fact, it's something to be welcomed that local people are now providing competition to established businessmen. Then 4.6, I think we just need to be clear there. I remember this point very well. And in fact, the person to my left, I don't remember his name, mentioned this. And he said that what happens is international tourists arrive and they stay in a nice hotel in Newlands or, you know, town or somewhere, but not in a township. And then they ask the local people, the porters or the people at the reception desk, who often may be people of color, what about going to Kailicha or Gugulethu? And they say, oh, no, don't go there, it's safe. And there was a feeling of, people almost felt let down that other people in the tourist industry were saying, don't go to those places. Now, you know, it doesn't actually say where that information is coming from. I think we should be clear that it's competition within the industry and people within the industry making those points, because I wouldn't want to come up with someone else saying it. And then lastly, 4.8. I accept that, again, that is truthful, but it's not the whole story. People also mentioned their own umbrella organizations needed to respond quickly, and I think we saw that with the lack of communication, or at least the breakdown of communication. Because the umbrella body would say they are communicating, the local operator would say, well, they don't know. So somewhere between those two, there's a breakdown. And it wasn't just the big national bodies like TEP that were at fault. There was a general, appears to me anyway, a general lack of communication in terms of what people should know and they didn't know it. We need to look at strengthening the own umbrella bodies and saying, okay, well, you here service Kalicha. Let's see how we can unjam the blockages and make sure that when your local guys talk to you, that you actually get the email or you get the correspondence and you're able to react.
Yeah, in fact, also, before we started, there had been a view that it is another election campaigning, even before the local government elections. And then I think one or two speakers said, here you come again with your campaigning. Do you remember that in Kailicha? So we had to explain that, no, we're having a free-fledged committee now. We can follow up and so on and so forth. So, I do not know whether that has been reflected or not. But then, that is page 2. Then page 3.
Actually made a substantive point. I'd like to propose then an amendment to the text. Okay, so can we say a number of factors were cited by the participating individuals which they felt were limiting the effectiveness of the township establishment? Just add in a few words in that first sentence, and then it's clear where this is coming from. Can we say something like that? Because this is in fact what we heard from the floor and from the individual operators. So can we just add that, and then that would cover me then? Then it wouldn't matter whether we agreed or not. It was their genuine feelings that were expressed.
Oh, they told us that, yes.
Yes, I can.
That phrase, 4.2, township tolls were marketed as poverty tolls. I think that's what they said. Okay. To the committee. Okay. So, let us then leave it as long as it is easy to understand. Then page 3. Observations. On observations, I do not know. I wanted to suggest that we look at 6.1 and say that the FNMEs have insufficient information and awareness of available government services offered. Rather than say total lack of information, because they knew about TEP, but exactly what had to happen, and they didn't exactly know. And then on 6.3, the committee made the following observations: that there was a lack of access to finance because of conditions attached to funding, rather than the whole of the fund is adequately implicated to that collateral to the client financial sector before they can fund small business. That there was a lack of access to finance because of conditions attached to funding. We are just making it shorter and more the thing. But those things are true, but just putting it as that. And then when now you want to go into that, you can get the details. So page 3 is okay. Then page 4. On page 4, there was a lack of clarity on 6.4. which reads lack of interest by establishments to build partnerships with local communities and suppliers. The committee found there was some competition amongst businesses themselves. SMMEs were not complementing each other. I don't know. It looks like, for to make it clear, I was got to construct something there. Or just to pull out what we wanted to say first, and then we try to capture it.
Okay, I think we can rework but the point we were trying to make, if you recall well, they made even a suggestion that at that time that there was a certain meeting that was organized by the president, which was in New Way, and were complaining that their transport were never used, transport of Mr. Fonseca, Ayona, and others were used there, and yet they are the local people. They've got transport, they've got all other services that were required. They were in a position to offer those of services they were not used. So those are some of the issues that they submitted to this committee. But we can rework the wording.
Okay, no, it becomes clearer now, but when you put it, I think it should then be clear to somebody else that a person that was not there. Then the 6869. Then 6.7. The issue there is around the late payment of services and resulting in bankruptcy of small businesses as a result of problems with the cash flow. I think we'll have to either to break it into shorter sentences or whatever to make it clearer as well. 6.7. And then 6.9. The committee was impressed with the road infrastructure and cleanliness we witnessed in Kainicha and surrounding areas. I think even the surrounding areas were clean. On all the day of the visit, we even commented that it's clean. It was not only Chinese.
So now I think
that one is we can scrap it because it is after the summit. And then you remember that lady, there was a lady there who said that they had made a submission and then we advised her that there would be a summit and she should submit it there. I think that lady should submit it there.
So why should I present it to the next summit?
And
why should I not present it to the next summit? They should simply have one or two in the target.
Okay, we should recommend that they also going to present an updated document even in the forthcoming summit. I think that is okay. So that they learn also to prepare in time for this. Then the conclusion, the concerns and anxieties of the previously neglected groups need to be understood and adequately addressed in building a successful tourism industry in South Africa. That is in order, yes. That is the report, and then let us get time to move for adoption, and then secondly, one more question.
I move for
the adoption. Any second, okay, let us bridge and have our tea for about 10 minutes, then come back at 11:30.
So we adopted the
amendment. It is adopted with amendments, yes, the amendment.
I think that you and you are so cold. I don't think I'll ever sleep.
I'm not concentrating.
Because I was just happy to meet to see you.
Was it today?
Now, today. You just took me so hot.
Sorry, I must have been Mille miles away.
Yeah, I was really disappointed.
I must have been dreaming, I don't know.
Do you know when pollen brings the disease?
Is it about 3 weeks?
3 weeks then.
Okay.
I hope so.
Thank you. of attractions like the Darwin Heritage Site, some of the dilapidated infrastructure that was there, the army sites that we went to in the Gaurang area, the bridge, there was a bridge, a huge dam, which was not used to full potential, because there were no developments around that area, of which that could be used as a tourist attraction. And there were issues in terms of capacity within the department and within the different municipalities, although it was highlighted that even though that was the case, it was when we went there, it was a new administration that had come in, because it was after the local municipalities elections. And there was an issue of an expanded mandate and budgetary constraints in the province. There were issues of budgets, and because the mandate was between the Northern Parks and Tourism and the department itself, there were contradictions within the two, the entity of the department and the department, whereby the department was not able to articulate clearly what was the cornerstone or the draw card for the marketing of tourism in the province, and the parks thought they had a different idea as well. And the non-alignment of training within the training, that was also seen as a hindrance in the Northwest, and the lack of support for small and medium enterprises. What also was observed was the issue that the N12 was in an unacceptable condition, as the roads were not good at all. There were patches of parts of the road where you had to drive on gravel road, and that is the national road, which is the N12. And that road was used by many people as a transit road, which could also have assisted in growth of tourism. Because as and when people pass through areas, if areas are presentable, people would want to come back that route. And also the observation in the Matigo Community Project, and that the road leading to that particular project, which was a successful project as seen, in terms of the infrastructure, the good infrastructure, but the roads leading there were not in good condition. And tourists expected to drive long hours from Gauteng, because that's where they would land, into those areas, because there were no flights to Northwest. And the other thing was, in terms of alignment of training needs, there was a challenge. The sitters could not absorb people for training, and subsequently the industry. When people were trained, they could not be absorbed because they lacked certain kinds of skills that were needed by the industry. And also, lack of alignment between the third sphere of government was a serious issue, and municipalities in the rural locations did not have IDPs. Some of them did not even have tourism officers. So it was a challenge in terms of advancing tourism, because if you don't have tourism officers which identify the products to promote and market, then you've got a loophole. In terms of information flow, there was a hindrance there. The province is also struggling to ensure that there's geographic spread of tourism in terms of product offering. Provinces have gone a long way in forging public partnerships. But those were also, facing challenges, because even though they were there and they were concrete, they were not bringing in the revenues that they were supposed to be bringing in. Or many of other people were benefiting more than other people, more than the communities themselves. And the issue of the ETA award was acknowledged that it had played a major role in terms of putting the province on the market, because the recent win of the ETA award was for a person from the Northwest. So that had assisted in ensuring that the province is on the map. And in terms of housing, the province was seen as a province which was at an advantageous position. But the problem was that traveling distances within the province itself was very long, and different from one spot to the other. The traveling distances between Gauteng itself were shorter than as compared to Northwest. Because when you look at Northwest, when you travel from one district to the other, you can travel as much as about 700 kilometers. So that in itself is a strenuous condition for for tourists. You know, when you're touring in a particular area, you don't want to be sitting in a car for very long hours and on a car driving. Two of attraction in Gauteng were there. They just needed to be managed well. There were, however, challenges as well, which were confusion of roles between local and district municipalities, whereas local municipalities wanted to take precedence and district municipalities wanted to take precedence on marketing areas. There was lack of funding and support for SMEs and SME organizations and other areas. This was not a reflection for all the areas, but in some of the areas, for instance, in the Vaal, SMEs there did not receive much support, but in the Soweto area, SMEs were highly supported. There was non-alignment of training needs with the industry, and the issue of shortage of electricity was also a hindrance in businesses as well, because when you have tourists coming in and no information comes to you that there will be a blackout or there will be a load shedding. But when it happens, then you have the duty to explain to the tourists why it's happening. And lastly, the major problem was the issue of transport permits, because they actually highlighted that people in certain areas were actually bribing officials to get the transport permits because it took so long to get the transport permits themselves. So people had to jump the line. And that was also an issue for other people who felt that they wanted to follow the proper process, because the industry was becoming corrupt, that in order for you to get the permit, you'd have to bribe officials. And there was also lack in terms of cooperative governance between the spheres of government, and issues of addressing corrupt practices and backlogs of services and service issue. These are corrupt practices in the transport industry. And also, in different regions, products have been identified, like for instance in the Ekurhuleni Metro, they had all identified a product of marketing the area as an aerosol police, which I've seen recently in the OR Tambo. They've now made sure that they're marketing that, the marketing Ekurhuleni as an aerosol police place where all Africa meets and all destinations lead to one point, and they're disseminated from there. And that was the concept that they had come out with to market Ekurhuleni. And on transformational issues, they had gone a bit far. Gauteng was a bit far ahead, because the adopted guest house initiative was working more effectively there, and to an extent that they are now trying to get into adopt a shopping kind of concept, whereby big businesses would adopt shoppings and promote Shabins as one of those tourist destinations that we could go to. I think that's just about it.
Okay. Thanks. I think these Shabins, by definition, a Shabin is an illegal establishment. And I think we've got to. We will find a use or a way that is more acceptable, because you cannot, as a government, go on promoting what is illegal. If you get my point, perhaps they could call them taverns or whatever. But if you call them, it means they are not licensed to sell liquor, so you cannot promote them. So that in their vocabulary, they said it, but in their vocabulary, they've got to promote either taverns or whatever they call them. But the name Shibin, I think, is unfortunate. But what I wanted you to look at is page 12 and page 14, where we have those bullets. And see the differences between the provinces, how they are. Lack of infrastructure is in a rural province, and we do not have it in Gauteng. Instead, we have confusion of roles between local and district municipalities. Capacity, expanded mandate, and budgetary constraints in the province, it is not there in Gauteng. Lack of capacity and resources in the local sphere of government. It is not there in Gauteng. Non-alignment of training with industry need means it is not there in Gauteng. But I don't think that one is because it is what. Oh, it is there in Gauteng. Oh, okay, yes. And then lack of support and for SMMEs is there in both the instances. All right? And that's the N12. And then an N12 and N road is a national road. To be in the state that we found it in when we went to Northwest, I think is unacceptable. If it is because of the size of the equitable share or what, I think that one has got to be attended to. You can't have a national road that is not as good as another national road in another province. There is, if you go to KwaZulu-Natal, our national roads are always tops everywhere. I mean, they are not freeways, but you see, this is a national road, and there has been an improvement in the Eastern Cape, but in some areas they haven't. But my point is, a national road should be different from roads that are funded by provincial and local governments. But those are the points. Whereas we have in here in Gauteng, there is a shortage of electricity sometimes. I mean, it is unacceptable for a place next, which has the biggest airport, to have an electricity shortage. It's unacceptable for Gauteng. And then the issue of transport operating permits. I also heard it from a shuttle driver. I was going to Johannesburg, took a shuttle. And he said that there it takes about a year for you to get a permit to operate a taxi or a shuttle and so forth. So it indicates that there is a problem, sort of, but I don't know why exactly the problem is. I just wanted to highlight those things, and then we can then discuss the report. Page 6.
I think the sentence clearer. 6.9.2. We're talking about claimant communities. I think we're talking about land claims, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would suggest that the word land appears somewhere there. So that it's not that communities claiming anything, but communities are claiming the land.
Thanks.
That's okay. Thanks. Yeah. I don't understand 6.7.4. That the district enjoys little tourism activities due to its rural nature. I have no problem with that. But in the last part, in proximity, the tourism catalyst. What does that mean? By being close to little tourism capital.
Attraction.
Then it enjoys little tourism activities. Are we talking about what? Competition?
Rotomu Party District, is that the third district? Okay. Yeah. I think it should be attrition rather than tourism.
It enjoys little tourism activities because of proximity to tourism catalyst. Maybe we need this to say something. Because it can mean a different thing. Yeah, maybe just need to say the expression. If I can.
Yeah, because Rotom Party just to get very little tourism activity due to it.
Jefferson just said on the name of the tarot, it's Sechamek. I wish Farai was here. I don't think it's Sechamek. It's Sechamek. That's one name.
Sechomoti.
Guy said Sechomoti.
Where is that one?
No.
It's a place of smoke.
Well, I don't know, because I know when you can tell me about the hammock. That one is cool.
It's
a
name, it's a name.
It's M-E.
Yeah,
there's something wrong, that is what I'm saying.
Okay, no. I think that will be corrected, and then instead of that E-O-T-E, then it is going to be O-T-E-O-T-E. It's a homo.
It's a
homo. I think that the doctor 674 is the doctor Rotom Party District that enjoys little tourism activity due to its nature, rural nature, and proximity to tourism. I think there should be a despite its rural nature and proximity to tourism attractions.
No, but I think that word is spice and can help. Yeah, if you are saying that, it is a very little activity. In spite of the fact that it is close to reasons like, this is that one, of Catella's calendar, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true to the down dam, the down scar.
Yeah.
And the beautiful rural
distinct
setup because I think that one has got to be refilled and then but it meant that. Then there was this beautiful distinct place, accommodation place at Matigwe. And wonderful breakfast as well, served in the bush. But it was for this, the first time I slept in a room that was open right through the night. It was just a tent, and then people from outside could see inside. It was a beautiful thing. But that demonstrates the success that could be realized from the PPPs. And then you didn't mention that the delegation was this thing delayed for about an hour by an elephant that refused to move out of the way and looked aggressive. Then six Northwest Provincial Tourism Sector overview of the key issues emanating from the engagement. Ngakamu Dira Mulema, Bonajala District.
Bujanala.
And then the Dr. Kaunda District Municipality.
Again, a very small, but I think important correction, the 7.1.4. I think it will read it. Maybe it needs a reformulation.
No, no.
That's longer sitting.
Okay. It's no longer sitting. Mama, the leadership of the town have a meeting with the tourism stakeholder. After that meeting, they promised that it was Walid Mudira, the one with purchased room. They promised that they were going to hold stakeholder meetings for tourism. Okay. Then page 7. Then we get into 8, which is then the Southern province, is it? Page 8. Page 9. Number 9 is an overview of key issues that emanated from tourism industry stakeholders. You remember at the Cradle of Mankind, when you got a bit of a tumbling. Page 11. Issues raised by tourism stakeholders through associations like that. recollected is for small business or electrician for creating guest houses with regards to liquor licenses. I think the summary is now too short to make it to the meaning. The problem of liquor licenses, getting liquor licenses.
That's what they said they also intend to. They also want to do it. So that they can also have that license of being granted a license for them to sell.
Then there's the analytical report, which summarizes the whole report. And then page 14 is findings and observations. I think that one, the 11-13 on the tourism guides, were they not all registered, or some of them were not registered? Some, right? Okay. And recommendations. The tourism and local government, re-evaluation of tourism. Let us look at this tourism and local government.
Mm.
It does not have legislative and or regulatory powers pertaining to tourism. But local tourism is a local authority function. I think here there has to be also the to be borne in mind that some local governments are not geared for tourism. They could be mining destinations, mining operations, or and so forth, without distinct. mission opening mining. So, I think this one is captured. If you go further with the
elements. Yeah, on this point number 12.2. What about the bylaws for the various local governments? Wouldn't the local government in a particular area have the right then to have some bylaws that would probably affect, let's say, for instance, the tourist attraction sites and so on and so forth? Wouldn't you call that some power of legislation or something? I don't know.
I think that falls under the issue of capacity, because they don't. They despite the fact that they are allowed to have bylaws, but in some instances they say that those regulations are not there. But it is their competency to have bylaws and some regulations and regulate some of the activities. Legally, but I do not know what their councils then do. The issue of re-evaluation of tourism budgets, then marketing and promotion, increased synergies among all stakeholders, unresolved land reform claims, processes, lack of adequate integrated land use planning, signage, skills development, SMMEs and cooperatives, financially and non-financially, that is the support of these. 12.12.11, provincial and local government capacity, innovation and technology, that is 12.12. Then the rest is just appreciation. Do you think that in appreciation should we mention any other person or people by name or institution? Okay. Then conclusion is 14. So now it's time for adoption. But let us also look at the fact that as we go on, it looks like the provinces with bigger areas that were independent homelands have not been developed by and large. If you look at this province, it was Bobo Tazwan. You look at the roads, some of them have not even been there even before. So we've got to look at this and then look at the issues of equitable shares as well as we go along with the budget. Because the equitable share, if you've got very, very long roads between towns, may not be enough, especially if those roads were never even developed properly before. Because that's what is evident as you go to town. The quality of that car road was never good. It has just eroded because of rainfall or what. But in the middle of the initial road, there is no car because it was washed away. It doesn't reflect a good state of affairs of government. But now the next question is that why is it not fixed? And then when you ask that question, that's when now they start telling you that they do not have the money.
That's a very important point, an important observation, because
it's not only in the northwest, come to the Eastern Cape, where we had two bantustans. Oh, you will find that. It's exactly like that. In the area where people of the bantustans, along the N2, the national road, is very poor. But in the areas where it was, for instance, white South Africa, very good. So I think an important point to maybe to know, to make it information, maybe now at the base, so that the transport department, the Minister of Transport, can really attend to this. Personally, I have mentioned it to him because we are definitely affected in the Eastern Cape. Very definite areas that you can see. Some of them, the roads are very dangerous as well. But I mean, if it is something that we notice countrywide, I think all the better. The point may be taken seriously.
And well, the issue of road fencing as well, and this quality and barriers which stop cattle and all these animals from getting in. It's a whole lot of things that need to be attended to. But now, I don't know whether that comes also from the equitable share or that it should be something which is project-like, where cabinet decides that we have to attend to this. Perhaps then, if we say that they're going to look into the former independent homelands cases, particularly with regard to infrastructure, there could be a reallocation of funds to attend to those things. And now the report is for consideration for adoption. Do we agree on what is written in this document as what we observed?
I move for the adoption of the report.
Move for the letter.
Can I ask the same question, sir? Do we want to debate the government over the water plan?
There are two options in debate or perhaps just having a report, writing a report and reading for about 10 minutes. Two options,
So I wouldn't have thought that a provincial report is appropriate for a debate because it's the National Assembly. And to debate one or two provinces that probably wouldn't be appropriate, but the other report, you know, if we don't debate this one, it gives us more chance to debate the other one on the summit. Okay. If you overvote, if you try for too much, you end up with nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would think I just debate myself on this report, on this provincial report. After all, we had our provincial report before, haven't we?
Yeah.
And we've never really debated them. But what is the legal practice? The chairperson makes a statement.
It's a great 35 minutes to 10 minutes rather than have a debate on what we noted and based on what is in the report. The latest one. Then the meeting of the 1st November, Tuesday the 1st of November, that was last week. Attendance, apologies, in attendance, so that is officials in attendance, parliamentary support, opening and welcome, and then briefing by the International Marketing Council of South Africa on 2010-2011 financial year. Is the name International Marketing Council, or do they have South African business at the bank? Let us check and find out and correct that if it is incorrect. They have most of Africa. Most of Africa. Okay, let us have the full name at least once. Yes. Okay, she is off sick, yeah? She still in hospital.
I don't know what I mean to say. Okay.
Is she in Cape Town?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Hey, there are so many hospitals here. I didn't know there was a hospital in Cameron as well. I think we're going to try and make an effort individually to go and see if those of us that can. And then, but the point is correcting the means that she or she of fit. Oh, the apologies, oh yeah, it's apologies, yeah, the apology is there. It's only that the reasons are not. I'm not reading, but the apology is there. And my guy is the apology is there. Peter's the apology is there. Terry Blanchett, the apology is there. Then we page two. In page two. Well, the thing is that if he is still in the official list, that is the point. I think we've got to apply for him to be removed, because if he can still appear in the report, he is going to be here. And you can't do that informally, because there has to be proper accounting for people. And if the issue is raised either by other interested parties, the records have to be there. So what we need to do, I think at a whippery level, will be to discuss this with the chief whip or the whip responsible for people getting into committees and having scrapped from this committee, because really practically he is not a member of this committee. That is the first point. And then the second point is that if you do not take this action, and then if full members of the committee have to go abroad or whatever, and then you start saying they are the members of the committee, and then you start debating unnecessarily and why this has been happening, and you get the point.
Because they were not replaced, and Mamu
Sitoy. Oh, Sitoy
the other person, my chief wife, who resigned from Parliament. So we are living 1 hour.
Okay, okay. Now, all over to read this. Is it now
the deputy chief whip, or who is responsible for allocating people to committee?
The deputy chief whip, unfortunately, is of being from the deputy chief.
The deputy chief, okay.
Then I wrote a letter to the chief whip.
Okay. Okay, now this way.
So I think we have to combine. Maybe she can ask
it. Okay. No, let's just try and set up a meeting with Kubai and try and correct this. Following that letter you wrote, you show it to her so that we take the matter further. Yes, Mama.
Yeah, I suppose ANC, part of the committee, is not the only one that is affected by this. I think, according to the list, there's supposed to be two members of COB also. But one has never really been able to come to attend the meeting. But I don't think this is the only committee that is affected by this. So maybe there is need to look at the rules, what do the rules say, so that then the parties can conform to the rules. I'm trying to say it's much broader than just the tourism committee.
But also you see, with other parties it's understandable, they have few people.
Mm-hmm.
But for the majority party, it becomes a problem because it can break the quorum and create a lot of things. I do understand your point, but it's a different story when it comes to us, because the majority party, because by and large, we contribute much more to the column than other parties. So I think each party should treat this matter as
in some meetings, the opposition can outnumber the ANC.
I think we've got to take action. Particularly if we're especially before we legislate. You remember that there is a pending law that is coming. So at some stage you shall be needing quorums. And then even for these meetings you need the quorum. You can't adopt meetings without a quorum. So we'll try and then fix those people, particularly in the majority party. In the other parties, it is understood really, and they can fix their business, but it is understood that there are so many committees meeting at the same time. Then in the issue of support and then opening and welcome briefing by IMC. I did not find anything on dispute. This is the department that had a fruitless expenditure of 735 million rand on photocopiers. Is it not? Huh?
750,000.
750,000, okay. How many photocopiers? I think they're correcting that. That was a fruitless expenditure that we dealt with last week. The marketing center that markets the whole of South Africa. We did our job.
About the position, isn't it?
Does
that mean the position?
Yes. Yeah. It's going out of a given number, yeah. Then closure and adoption. Adopted?
Yes.
For Paul McCarthy. Second, where is the original to be signed? Okay, let us go to the next one. Which would be the 18th of October. Then it was attended. Then the Democratic Alliance did not have a presence when we dealt with the PRR. Is that true? Seven, 218, 4 focal points based on prior audit and risk assessment, that is 221, 222, 243 human resource management, information technology management, the concerns. That is on 3.1. How did the Auditor General give the department a good audit report when there were unauthorized and wasteful expenditure report? I think there, instead of good, we've got to have because they're not qualified now. What is the latest?
Good say clean.
Clean report, yeah. Clean report, yeah. Clean report. Give the clean report. Audit report when they were unauthorized and wasteful expenditure report. When there were some, was it unauthorized or irregular expenditure? What was the case? What was the sort of what was leadership and government issues? I think sometimes you get a clean audit report even if there is unauthorized expenditure. But based on the materiality of the unauthorized expenditure, if it is less than 1%, of the overall expenditure, but it should be under meters. So we've got to find a way of expressing that. Although it's not classified, it can sometimes the amount do not come up to an unauthorized expenditure or whatever the case may be. Then on 3.4, I think perhaps that is captured to an extent. Then what's the general response to the committee concerns?
Yes.
That you must erase one.
One.
Yes.
Thank you. Then 4.6. That was the point that we. Then 4.7. Time now for the adoption of the minutes of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism of the proceedings of the 18th of October. Any proposal for adoption? McCarthy?
I move for the adoption.
McCarthy, any seconder? Okay, thank you. And let's deal with the next set of minutes. Let's find this original. Thank you. The following one, 11th of October. The 11th of October, attendance, apologies, officials in attendance. Go to the next program, that is
policy, research, monitoring, and evaluation. 2.5, 2.51. And the third line is instead of ID, it's IS. It was meant to ensure that the tourism policy environment is conducive to sustainable growth. Then, 252, let us just get an explanation of the last two sentences. The number of tourism policies, probe strategies achieved had been met, the target set and those achieved were two. Human capital management. So then we move to the concerns of the committee, that is number three. The committee consensus that was responsible for EPWP in the last one. Then we go to number four, department's responses to the committee consensus.
It
the way they put it here was that there were no proper controls at a provincial level. So the department was a little bit afraid of just throwing the money where there are no controls.
Okay.
So they've decided to stop that until proper controls are in place.
Do you think that shouldn't we at this thing put that? Because it's just like this. The next question is that why did we not ask for the thing for an explanation? I think except this breath we have. Yeah, but I think we also agreed that the 20 million should be retained, and then subject to the department having proper controls, the province having proper controls to manage the funds. Was that the understanding? Then 4.4, the international agreement between South Africa and Zimbabwe was supposed to have been signed in December 2010. The BRICS to be signed. And the international system to be signed. 4.5, department indicated that the Chinese market was growing faster while the traditional market was going down. Traditionally, we mean the European one, the USA, and so forth. Because of the recession, I think the issue of the recession or global recession should be factored in somewhere there. Then 4.6, another example was that Norway indicated that South Africa needed to do more in terms of promoting itself in Norway. Norwegians tend to spend huge money when they were in South Africa. There should be something like a linkage between the two sentences. One of them, can you assist? 4.6. Another example was that Norway indicated that South Africa needed to do more in terms of promoting itself in Norway. Then the next sentence is 4.6. Norwegians tend to spend huge money when they were in South Africa. To link the two.
I think it needs reformulation.
Not necessarily reformulation, but a linkage. Jerry, you understand what I mean?
I'm not responding to our own concern. The department is responding to our own concern. Yeah.
Why don't you just add the words in the second sentence, a direct benefit would accrue as, and we know Norwegians tend to spend huge. A direct benefit would accrue as.
I think that was the understanding as well. So we amended that way. Then 4.7. Then I think also the department highlighted that on reviewing the EPWP 4 were identified as being corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the project has been conducted and one matter has been handed over to the SAPS, I think the committee welcomed this, that they had taken action. But then also the four cases were identified as being corrupted. But something needs to be there as well for it to be understood clearly. Except the department highlighted that on reviewing the EPWP, four were identified as being corrupted.
What the department was saying, when they were reviewing this EPWP project, they found out that it looks as if there is some corruption going on. Hence, they instituted a forensic audit. And then that forensic audit resulted in a situation where one case, and they found that there is really a corruption going on, then they handed over that case to SAPS for further investigation. Then they were dealing with the remaining three, where they were saying it's almost 95% completed. Then we maybe next time when they come, they might report that the cases have also been finalized. Then we will see what has happened thereafter.
Okay. So why not say four cases at 4-7? It wasn't highlighted that on reviewing the EPWP, four were identified as being corrupted. Four what?
Four projects.
Let us put four projects then. Four projects. Then 4-8. For the audit to identify complicated some issues, not say that was is related to the other one. Then 4-9, universal access of developers part of the code of good practice, the challenge of the department was that there was no legislation in place to ensure adherence to the requirement of universal access. The issue was taken on by the tourism industry. Then association. And that was it. I'm
on 37.
Okay.
Page 7 here.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I agree with that in part of the sentence. That the committee pledged its commitment and to support the department. I think those words are not right. Because our support to the department is through oversight work. Otherwise, it seems to me the way it is put here, we are allowing ourselves to be co-opted into the department.
But yeah, I think we need to recall
the same sentiment, but making ourselves more on our own task of oversight. That's how we're going to help the department through oversight way. I've not formulated any amendment, but I was just thinking that we should base ourselves on the principle of oversight, and therefore in that way to be assisting the government.
I think what exactly happened. Let us.
I can't talk.
Who remembers? No. So this, okay, we can reformulate it, but in essence, that was what the committee said. Because the department, the argument has been always that the challenge it for them becomes more when it comes to provincial, to provinces. Given that tourism is a concurrent function, it's not the only function of the national economy. It's a concurrent function, then provinces are involved, then the national is involved, then in some areas, then they encounter challenges when it comes at provincial level. We can reformulate it, but that was the essence of if there are challenges, then department must be able to say to us they encounter problems in a particular province and so on. So that the committee could assist. Unless we want to amend it now and then do it the other way around, but we can reformulate. Because these minutes, they are the minutes of the committee.
It is the assistance that you are going to give, the assistance that you are saying you are pledging to offer, the kind of assistance. Well, what do you mean when you say we will support them? If they are encountering problems with heads of department at provincial level, how are we going to do it?
I think those of us that were there should assist. Unfortunately, I did not bring my book. What exactly transpired? I mean, that is the sense of meaning. You want to write what happened in the meeting. The committee is a recording, the voice recording of the meeting. No, it's no longer there. Just disconnecting. Okay. It's just a question of clarity. I mean, everything. We must stay on what happened in the meeting. Okay, let us subject to amendments and put the matter before the committee. And because I think here sometimes you've got to compare notes, but sometimes now you don't exactly recall exactly what happened. But subject to those corrections, do we adopt the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, let us see by show of hands. Our performance is just plummeting. It's already 1 o'clock. Let us adopt these meetings and with the hope that we shall then at the next meeting and deal with the rest of the meetings. So has this been adopted with amendments? Okay, we have adopted the minutes of the 11th of October with amendments. Thank you very much, honorable members. We have to break now and adjourn and then we shall deal with the rest of the minutes at a meeting to be announced. Because we've got a problem, we shall sit down and recover and have something worked out. And then with those words... I thank you very much for your attention and for bearing with us for so long. Thank you.
Thank you.